This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 27, 2019, the third Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
They read the book of the law of God distinctly and plainly to be understood. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you come here more than probably 2 weeks in a row, you will undoubtedly hear me point out that the lectionary has left something out that is usually addressed, because that's my hobby horse, because that's what I think we should know, because that's what the Holy Spirit dictates in His Word. We heard that in the first reading today. This is the beginning of the homily. They read in the book of the law the Word of God distinctly and plainly to be understood. Distinctly and plainly just doesn't mean clearly what you hear. It also means everything that God says. This is of the utmost importance for us to know, because it's not just a matter of because God said it, it's why. Why? Because to understand the Word of God is to understand what builds us up. It is all about our restoration. It is all about our continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not going to grow in His grace and knowledge if you don't know what He says. We need to know what He says in its entirety. Now, it doesn't say they read the book of the law of God distinctly and plainly, except for those, what did they refer to modernistically, difficult passages. Newsflash, our faith is difficult. Conforming our lives to Jesus Christ, who is God, is extremely difficult. Okay? So we need to read the difficult passages to put us on notice that this is what we need to do. We need to start working now because we've got a lot of work to do. That is what the Scriptures teach us. The Scriptures are to be distinctly and plainly presented, that they be, as it says, understood. You don't understand them if you don't hear the whole thing. And we need to understand them because, again, it convicts us of sin. It puts us on the right track. It's not a matter of beating ourselves up. It's a matter of learning. I mean, we never chastise a child for not knowing the next day's lesson in school or to beat himself up because he didn't know it beforehand. He's learning. Okay, we're all learning our faith, but we're not going to learn it if the Word of God is not distinctly, plainly presented in order that it may be understood. To know what God is not infused knowledge. God is not miracle understanding of everything He says in His Word to you. He doesn't expect that. What does He expect? He expects His ministers. He expects His church to explain things. You read the Bible this morning, the reading this morning, this Nehemiah reading. What's the background? What's the context? Had Nehemiah opened the book of the law and he read, okay, is he in the synagogue? Is he, you know, what's going on here? The background of this is Israel being brought back from exile. Why were they in exile? Because they had been disobedient to God's word. And when they are brought back from exile in God's grace, and they are restored, and they're allowed to restore their temple, He speaks to them through His word, and they are convicted. Now they realize why they were in exile. It's a Jewish New Year. Okay? But not just New Year because, hey, let's celebrate the next year that's coming down. This is a new year that is profound for us because we have been brought from exile. So, okay, that's a nice history lesson about when Nehemiah lived. No, it's about each and every one of us every time we come to Mass. Because this whole concept of restoration, this whole concept of renewal is what happens every time we come to Mass. Every time we come into this place, you should expect to, and I would dare say be excited about, what you may learn from the Scriptures. I've had people before you, oh my gosh, this parable, hear that all the time. Guess what? You can learn something different from it every single time you hear it. Every different way that this nuance, that nuance, that's what it's there for. You don't read the Scriptures once, go, got it. I cannot tell you how many times I've read the book cover to cover. A lot. I read in it every single day, multiple times a day. And there's not a week that goes by when something I read something, I never saw that before. Not that I haven't seen those words, but I haven't applied it to this. I haven't seen how the Holy Spirit means this through it. How do I learn? Because I read it, and then I read comments from saints and very spiritual people and the magisterial teachings of the church. And it makes me understand Scripture more. That's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to understand all of it, not just the words that are said. Again, what's the context? Who is the audience? What does this mean to me? This is what the Word of God does. It constantly draws us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Venerable Bede, medieval theologian, monk, very spiritual man, he says, holy construction should be accompanied by proclamation of the divine word. He's not talking about temporal construction. He's talking as we build our faith. It must be accompanied by the word. It's got to be proclaimed correctly, and it's got to be heard correctly. In that story in the Old Testament about the proclamation of God's law, here's some very specific things of how God's word should be proclaimed. And as I said earlier, it is of a necessity that the church and her clerics present the word of God distinctly and plainly, explaining it that it may be understood. But it's not just all about proclamation. Yeah, you sit back there, yeah, that's your job. You should make sure that we understand it all. Well, guess what? There's two parts of this. Yeah, it's my job to proclaim it to be understood, but it's your job to hear it properly. Both of those things are addressed as Nehemiah describes the reading of the word to these people who have been brought out of exile. Again, don't get caught up in, well, that was them. We're brought out of exile when we're baptized. Every time we go to the confessional, we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. And as things are presented to us, it must be accompanied, as St. Bede says, by the Word of God. It must be proclaimed distinctly and plainly. It must be proclaimed appropriately. Interesting that you look at the things that we do in Mass today, they're actually articulated in this Old Testament passage. What did they build so the Word of God could be proclaimed? A pulpit. Pulpits are important. They're of the utmost importance. Why? What's the big deal? The big deal is, for one, the Holy Spirit has described this to us as a way to do it. But the big deal is that it shows the authority through which the Word of God is being proclaimed. A minister, a priest, a deacon, a bishop, ordained by God's church to proclaim the Word, their personal authority, that is not their authority, but the authority of God Himself, they stand in a pulpit, the place of authority. That's why I get all bent out of shape. I love this place because Father so-and-so gets out and he walks around the people. And that's so engaging. It also obfuscates, clouds up the authority with which he is speaking. You know, you want to hang out and talk about things, you go to adult forum between the masses, or you come into my office, or we jawjack in the parish hall after that we talk about God's word. That's the informal, engaging part. That's not what goes on in the liturgy. When the word of God is proclaimed, it's proclaimed with authority. This is not a suggestion. This is not my opinion. You must do these things to conform yourself to the will of God. That's why it's important to speak from the pulpit. That's why it's less than satisfactory for someone to go out and walk around. That's not the time for that. It's not a time for being engaging and relevant. It's a time for speaking about God, what God says, with the authority of the church, and saying, this isn't a suggestion. This is imperative. The word of God is proclaimed with blessings. In this case, amen, amen, as we hear the word of God read. Praise be to thee, O Christ, the word of the Lord. Those are elements of seasoning, letting God know we're not just hearing something read, like I'm sitting up here reading a catalog or a novel to you. We are proclaiming that we understand that it does have the authority through which it is proclaimed. When we see these things about the proclamation of the word, it lends itself to an understanding of the gravity, the importance of the word. You're just not hearing things. You're not just jaw-jacking. God himself, through his church, is telling you what you need to do to make God happy. And that's our end-all, be-all. That's how it should be proclaimed. Even more so, how it should be heard. The word of the God should be heard with great humility and reverence. I just talked about my part. Now let's talk a little bit about yours. This is an interesting description of how these people heard the word of the Lord. Things that are important, they should get our attention. Most of our jobs, you know, secular employment. I get up early in the morning. I go to work. I do a good job. Why? Because it's important. It's your paycheck. This is your eternal salvation. But where we'll spend 8, 10, 12 hours, some a lot more than that, and there are temporal jobs, come in here, and if the readings are more than 10 verses or so, you start getting the looking around, you hear change jingling, sighs, all this kind of coughing. What's described when Nehemiah reads the word? How about this one? And they all stood, and he read the law of the Lord from morning until midday. I don't like when Mass goes more than an hour and 10 minutes. They stood and heard the word of God read from morning till midday. Outside, standing. And tell us what the weather was. Imagine getting here this morning. We want to manifest what was going on in Nehemiah. Let's all go out into the parking lot, and I'm going to read the word of God from morning till midday. I just found out I had something to do. Yeah. What do you put into it? Why did they do this? Because they knew, they respected, they understood that it was part and parcel of their restoration. It was part and parcel of them being moved closer to God. It was absolutely necessary for what they needed. It was their marching orders from henceforth. You better do this or you'll wind up like you were before in exile. These people, as they listened, what we do in Mass, standing, kneeling, all these things, our outward physical posture is a manifestation of our interior disposition. These people stood from morning until midday, and they heard the word of the Lord. As it was read, some of them raised their hands. Some of them bowed their heads. Some of them got down and put their face on the ground. That's how important it was to them. That was how convicting it was for them. And they manifested this reverence for the word of God. And then when everything was over and done, it didn't say some of them, it said, and all the people wept. These people were in a special occasion of being brought out of bondage, which is all of our cases. We're all brought out of the bondage of sin and death into the church. But I mean, for these people, it was very profound. They understood it was objective. It was in their face. And they all wept because they realized that they had not been living in accord with the will of God. They realized that they had been punished because they had not been living in accord with the will of God. And they all wept. It's not a time to beat yourself up. The Holy Spirit lets them know this. The leaders tell them, do not mourn or weep, be not sad. It's not a time for mourning and weeping. It's not a time for sadness. It's a time of realization. Can it bring you to tears every now and then? Should it every now and then? Yeah. Man, I never knew that. I never understood that it was that important. I understood that this was something that was so integrally involved in my salvation. I didn't understand I was supposed to do or not do these things. It should bring tears to your eyes that we have been so far from Him on occasion. But it's not a time of beating ourselves up. It should be a time for joy. That should also elicit tears. The joy of knowing. It's correction. It's not a matter of beating yourself up from henceforth on how ignorant you were. It's fix it. Fix it. Fix it and proceed. Take that ball and run with it. He just doesn't say, do not mourn or weep. Do not be sad. He goes on to that. Eat fat meats and drink sweet wine. That's very churchy in Old Testament for, hey, eat junk food. I love that part of Scripture. I love the Word of God. Eat junk food? That's what He says for all intent and purposes. Why? Celebrate. Celebrate the fact that God talks to you. He doesn't leave it up to you to try to figure out what makes Him happy and what doesn't. I'll let you know, this is what makes me happy. This is what makes me happy. And this sounds kind of simplistic, but it's really true. If God's happy, we're happy. And vice versa. It's a cycle. We want Him to be happy with us. Okay? We want to make Him happy. Because He says, eat junk food, because it is a holy day of the Lord, and for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We make God joyful when we do what He says. We got to know what He says in its entirety. We got to know what He says, and then we have to not just know it, but do it. Here's a prayer in our missal. It's used a couple times a year when the Word of God is pronounced, really focused upon. And part of that prayer is that we are to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Word of God. It's just not a matter of hearing it. That's the first thing. You're all here. Everybody's hearing. That's a given. What else? Why did someone take the pains to provide Bibles for the pews? Why do we take the pains to put what the readings are going to be? Because when you hear something, that's one thing. But if you're hearing it and you're reading it at the same time, really kind of emphasizes it. That's why they're there. Everybody should have their own Bible. You know what? Your own special Bible should be all marked up. I love when I see people open up a Bible and this is got lines and stuff written in it and highlighters and all this kind of stuff. It's the Word of God. You shouldn't be writing in it. You should have one really cool Bible that you don't write in, but you should have one that you do. because we should hear, read, and mark the Bible. Because why? Because it makes us remember things. It makes things stand out to us. The memory is an evil thing. You know how many times a week. Notice I say how many times a week, because it happens every single week, a few times. I'll be getting ready for a homily. I'll read the word. I'll read the scriptures. I'm okay. I'm going to go here. I'm going to. Oh, this will be a good point. Should I write it down? I'll remember it. And I get up here and I get done. I'm like, darn it, man! I remember it. And some of the time, it's not like I just forgot. I'll sit up here and go, what was that? What was that? Marking is a good thing. Taking notes. Marking's a good thing. Hear, read, mark, learn. When you do all those things, it makes you learn. It becomes not just here, but it comes here also, which is the last thing, which ties all of those other things up. Because once you've learned it, you are to just not know it in your head, but to inwardly digest it. What's that all about? It's about making it a part of your very being. It's about making it a part of your life, living it. Not the parts you like, not the parts that make you feel warm and fuzzy. All of it. Absolutely all of it. We got to take the Word of God that seriously. Now we have Jesus. He really lightened up on things. The gospel today. Did it sound like it? Where was Jesus when he did that? He was in the synagogue, as was his habit on the Sabbath. He's in the synagogue. He's sitting there. The attendant hands him the book. Our Lord unfolds it. It's not a book like this, parchment. He unfolds it. He reads it. He folds it back up, hands it to attendant, sits down, and then speaks. Sounds like all kind of ritual going on there. Not only in the context of it, guess what? He was sitting there with all a bunch of men because the women were somewhere else because everything was separated. Jesus the revolutionary didn't say, hey, you know, I'm here to lighten things up. I'm not going to read anything until the women's come in here also. No. He stuck to the structure of his time. He proclaimed the Word of God plainly and distinctly, and then he applied it to the people by saying, I'm what that was about. When you hear the Word of God proclaimed, it's God speaking. It's not Father this, Deacon that, Bishop this. It's God speaking through them. Through their frailty, yes, but it's God. And it should be taken that importantly. Because if we're going to inwardly digest it, it helps to understand that it is not what God suggests you do, but what he demands you do. Because if you do it, you make him joyful. And the joy of God is our strength. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.